I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and sex shop owner.
And I'm April, VP of an international high-end pleasure products company and boss queen sex toy mogul. We're best friends who make our own rules about who we are as sexual beings.
With everything from how to be a badass in the bedroom to top tips for bringing your relationship to the next level, we have something just for you.
So sit back, relax,
and enjoy the show. Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hey, party people.
Hey, party people. Chip and I are currently in Burbank at another trade show, another sex toy trade show. And let me tell you, it sounds a lot more exciting than it really is. It's a lot of business because it's B2B, which means business to business. And
butt to butt.
Butt to butt, yeah. Oh. That would sound fun. People be like, oh, I'm there. How do I get into that trade show?
Yeah.
We have a special guest today, a return guest, Ms. Kristen over here. I don't even know the episode that you were on. We answered a lot of sex questions.
We were in Germany.
Yeah,
that was so fun. It was one of our most listened to podcasts.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about female ejaculation and period sex.
It's
golden showers. Yeah, that was funny.
I recommend checking it out. Oh yeah, this is April's old work wife from the Fun Factory Dolls. Welcome to the day.
I know.
We've had a lot of fun.
Yes,
work wives on the road.
We put the fun in the Fun Factory.
Aww. Yeah. Uh-huh. If y'all don't know about Fun Factory, go check them out. They make really wonderful toys. Pure Pleasure carries them as well.
They do.
One of my favorites is the Miss B. I think I probably talked about it before, but the Miss B-I-B. Is it B or?
Miss B.
It's a dual vibrator. It's rechargeable and waterproof. It's wonderful.
The Stronic.
I don't know. I'm a Miss B girl.
Oh, I've tried the Stronic anally and I was like, it's a thruster, not a vibrator.
Really?
Anally? April?
Anally.
I'm so
anal
I'm
April.
Surprised.
Well, no, I lost my anal virginity in January of last year. And now it's an avid go-to for me.
I am so happy to hear this. I haven't talked to you forever, work wife.
Yeah, she has much more anal play than a lot of humans that I know.
Most humans, yeah. And I do really enjoy it. I actually have regular orgasms anally.
Oh my God.
Never knew.
You have anal orgasms?
I do.
Anal orgasms.
I think it's something about just the taboo nature of the whole thing. And
like the hotness that you're not supposed to do it so dirty.
Yeah. And sometimes, this is going to sound really weird, but sometimes it hurts so good where I'm like, it's sort of painful.
Because my partner gets... That's your inner masochist speaking.
It is. And my partner gets off on me thinking that... It like or him thinking that I'm in some sort of pain, but he's not. Like, he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, yes. And he loves that too. So it's like this weird thing that we share.
Your anal is my like fisting. That's how I am about fisting. Like, yep, fisting.
So it's like this enjoying the taboo and the little bit of the pain that comes with it, or like the discomfort, or
yeah, it's like this kind of just
fisting?
Vaginal okay. fisting. Yes, not anal fisting. Oh my god,
receiving or giving or all of the above.
Receiving. There's just this like really like emotional release when you do something on that nature with your partner. And it is intense, and that intensity, you know, I think April and I tend to love intensity. I think that's why we travel so well together. It's like, whoa, having fun, doing crazy things. And so I can see that. But, you know, in general, April's anal is my fisting. That's the same. What is yours, Amy?
I mean, I feel like I have a combo of all of them. I just had my very first pegging experience, like, a couple days ago.
She did some pegging.
Oh. I did some pegging. I had my very first pegging experience, and it was fucking awesome. I'm usually someone who identifies more as a sub and loves playing like daddy little girl dynamic. And I'm like a quarter masochist and love being punished, but also love being praised and treated like a little queen, all the things. But I recently have had the invitation with someone that I would say is probably more like 80% very dumb. Who also is kind of switchy and gave me an invitation to explore this other side. I've worn all these spare parts harnesses in my life, but never actually to penetrate someone with. Just I wore them for like demo things. And I finally got to do it. And in it.
With a big old dildo?
Yeah. With a big old dildo. And,
wait, what does your cock look like? I'm trying to imagine like what
it was
is
his
your cock?
Cock. Because so I asked, I was like, show me what you prefer. Like what, cause he has a whole massive toy kit and he opens it, and I was expecting like, you know, like it's anal play, like a tapered tip, smooth one, you know, or something like that. He opens with this huge girthy, it's not super long, huge, but like girthy curved. And he's like, this is one that I really enjoy when I'm really warmed up. And I was like, damn. That's what you start.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, all right, no, I'm in. Okay, this sounds like, and I was really enjoying this exploration before we went into the harness play. We had this natural exploration that went to him laying on his stomach and me behind him, me kind of like grinding and thrusting into his ass without anything penetrating. And I was just like really enjoying kind of pinning his shoulders down. It's not a place I usually go because I'm usually more subby. And I was just seeing, I was like, oh my God, this feels so good to be in my power. So anyways, really enjoying going into that place. I still identify as like probably 90% kind of more subby, dirty, naughty little girl that likes to be punished. And I also like going to more consensual tantric places, and have really enjoyed going into this place of like being a it's like topping. He was totally topping from the bottom too.
Wait,
did he come?
Did he have an orgasm?
Oh yeah.
Did you?
I didn't have an orgasm from wearing the harness, but I definitely was super turned on. I had a lot of orgasms before that from a lot of other things. Mm. So it's the first time in so long that I've been like locking myself in the bedroom and playing for like 6 hours. And before, and I also, I don't know if you
come out, feel like you went to the gym. You're like, oh,
seriously,
we need water and food,
like,
and maybe a cigarette at this point, even though I don't smoke.
Yeah. And I feel like I did lose my sex drive for a long time, or it was completely gone, but it was just turned off and turned down. Now it's just full force in a way that's just, I don't know. So anyways, to answer all of your questions, I would like to try this, some fisting, and on all the ends of, you know, my fist, your fist, someone else, well, all the fists, all the things, all the holes. Let's just try it. It's just that
does
time.
Fisting
start small this, with a small fist.
Yeah. Is it the same way as like trimmed nails? Small fist.
Oh,
I mean, there's a whole practice to fisting. There's actually only, I think, one book that I'm aware of ever made. It's called Hand in the Bush, which is fucking hilarious.
I have a photo of me with my reading hand in the bush in that latex, painted on latex t-shirt. Yeah.
And anyway, it's a good, if you're really interested, Hand in the Bush is a great book to reference, but it is a difficult practice. You know, you definitely, this hand size is important. Mm. So, you know, finding a small, you know, typically maybe female hand is usually a little easier mm-hmm. to start
with. You have
really
small hands. Do you want to come over later?
I actually have very small hands. My hands are very trimmed. Fisting's intense. Like, I prefer to be fisted than be the fister.
Fisty.
Oh, really?
The fisty. You want to be the fisty, not the fister.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You want to be, okay. Okay,
I prefer to be the bottom.
You like
fist.
The receiving.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because having your fist in somebody is like really fucking intense.
I mean,
I'll just feel like your arm may never come back.
My experience with this strap-on play was I was using fingers before, and I was started with a middle finger, and then he asked for a second finger. I was like, okay, got this. And then he's a third finger. I was like, fuck, I left my ring on. So I had to take the ring on while keeping two fingers inside, took that off, then did three fingers, and then he asked for a fourth finger. And so I did that whole thing, and your fingers get pretty crampy from having a tight muscle hanging out. So I would imagine with fisting that your wrist and your hand is kind of like...
There can be a freak out moment, for sure.
Like, am I going to die?
People freak out the same time, never good. Because when you're putting your fist in and once it's like really in there, and if you kind of want to freak out and they freak out at the same time, everything can clench and it's intense. So you have to trust, communicate. It's very similar to anal sex, actually, in a lot of ways. So that wasn't even the question that we were going to cover.
No,
but apparently it's important the university needed to hear about fisting.
Well, I was curious about fisting. I've never been fisted nor. Well,
but I think your partner's hands are kind of big.
They're massive.
Yeah.
Sometimes he has one finger in my butthole, and I'm like, how many fingers are in there? He's like, it's just a pinky. I'm like, oh my God.
I put a pinky in there. Oh my God. That's so much. much.
Well, still.
Yeah, fisting.
We have a couple of announcements.
We have a couple of announcements, everyone.
Switching, you know, the tides that turn. We could talk about, Salt Lake City.
Well, Salt Lake City, yeah, we're teaching.
Salt Lake City. If you or anyone you know is a Salt Lake City human, or will be in Salt Lake City August. What is it? What's the date?
The first weekend of August.
The first weekend.
2019.
Yes, this is where we are. We are teaching two classes. That's two classes in Salt Lake City at Blue Boutique, which is one of our favorite boutiques in the United States. I love them.
It's wonderful.
You can get pierced, you can get some lingerie, and you can get some sex toys. And then you can come and hear us talk about Orgasm 101 one day. That's Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday morning, blowjobs and brunch.
I think it's at noon, so it's like Sunday morning turns. You can still go to church if you want.
There'll probably be mimosa, so 21 or over. Mm-hmm. You can go to blueboutique.com and check out the event tickets there. And they actually, it's like $25 and you get a $20 gift card that you can spend after the course. So
you have to be 21 to go
to drink the mimosas.
The mimosa part. Okay. No, you can be 18.
You can go if you're 18, but if you want to drink the mimosas, you must be 21, at least in Salt Lake City. If you're in Spain, you could be 14.
Yeah, I'm in the United States, I think.
America?
Jurassic America. Okay, so another announcement, everyone. There's a contest coming up now through July 30th. If you go to our Instagram, you will learn more. This is a contest with Swingtown, and you can win a grand prize of a lifetime to Swingtown's membership and swag, a bottle of wine, a copy of The Ethical Slut, a copy of Come As You Are, we've had Emily on our podcast, and a $69 gift card to unboundbabes.com. I love the number 69. Good choice, everyone. And you can win this grand prize by entering this contest. It is easy to do. Just go to our Instagram, that's Shameless Sex Podcast, and we got our Instagram back. We did lose it for about 2 days, and we got it back.
It always feels like we lost it for months, but it was only probably 48 hours.
It's back.
And Amy knew friends in high places that helped us get bailed out of that. But we did get hacked, actually. It wasn't a censorship. It was a hack.
We didn't get hacked.
Oh, I thought it was a hack
job. We got flagged, and then Instagram automatically decided that we were up to some terrible things, and then we were disabled, and then who did you peg?
I didn't peg.
I did not peg a friend. It's a friend I've known for a long time who works inside these corporations, and they filed an internal report and found out.
We had to give our driver's licenses and everything.
Yeah, we had to send them like,
it was like legit. Like we were. Oh, I was like, okay.
And they found out that it was kind of accidentally disabled by Instagram. We got it back. So,
We weren't hacked.
We were not hacked. No, someone flagged us and they instantly disabled us because they thought we were doing terrible things.
I think that's one part of the process with the flagging that could be updated, because you can just kill accounts just by flagging them. So if you have some competition out there that doesn't like the messaging that you're putting out, they can flag you or have multiple people flag you, and then you could be shut down on Instagram, which doesn't make it very even keeled.
We were shut down. Fun Factory was shut down for a couple weeks on Instagram.
Oh.
USA, Fun Factory USA. And it was so hard to try to get...
You can't get a hold of it anyway.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's impossible. And there's a lot of sex educators, sex positive sex educators that are getting shut down. So there's so much. And meanwhile, there's, you know, male-owned accounts with booties just twerking all over the place that are up and running. But I will say, Instagram, thank you for listening to our friend. And I did send friend a Wee Vibe as a gift.
Nice.
I was like, what toy do you want? Any toy. And they wanted a couple's toy. And so Wee Vibe was one of the best. And if you all want to learn more about these toys, go to purepleasureshop.com. Our listeners get 15% off with coupon code ShamelessSex in all caps. I have a testimonial for you, and then we're going to dive into a lot of sex questions. We were talking about fisting. Like, we just dove in.
You know, it was really difficult to not just go fist first.
I know.
It's an icebreaker. Anal
opens
fisting.
April opens with anal.
Fisting and anal all in the first 10 minutes of the show.
So
mic drop.
So all of you folks who are like, wow, those things are all kind of terrifying. Don't worry. These are just things that, you know, we might be into right now in this moment, and whatever you're into is welcome to.
We're going to get some iTunes reviews. They made me want to jump off a bridge but get fisted beforehand.
Life, though, like, I haven't been fisted like in a year and a half at least. I think it's a really fun thing to do. So maybe I'll do that tonight.
Let me ask you a question, though. For fisting, it's not one of the... You don't have fisting quickies. It's not really a thing like, hey, do you want to... I mean, it seems like kind of... For me, it's how anal is for me. It's more of like something I really put a lot of intention into. I don't need to pre-plan it, but I need to really feel into my body and take a lot of time. I would imagine fisting is very similar.
It's absolutely the same thing as anal. In fact, I think it might be a little more intense because, you know, you have just, you know, a fist inside of you. So, but I, in general, like breathing, you know, trust and, you know, oh God, this is shameless sex, right? So
yeah, you can say whatever
also
you want.
Also, just like sometimes when you're with a partner and you want to get really intense and you've maybe had a couple glasses of wine. I know as, okay, sex educator Kristen says, don't do this on wine. Friend Kristen says, it's okay.
And it's on wine.
And I think that in general, it's that when you really want to connect with somebody, like almost every time I've done this, it's like tears come out afterwards.
Oh, it sounds super intimate.
Yeah, it's very intimate, and you wouldn't just do it with anybody.
You're like, I know you so well now.
Like, you, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's so intimate. There's I bet on both ends for being
lots
someone,
of lube. You got to use some lube.
Oh
too.
My God,
lots
so much lube. Oh, yeah. So much lube.
But keep with same with anal. Keep reapplying over and over. It's like you can never have enough.
I always say that too during anal because sometimes I'm like, no, wait, we need more lube, more lube. My partner's like, I just put a ton of lube on. I'm
still
like,
need
more, lube,
yeah.
More lube.
Yes, you can't have enough lube. All right, I'm gonna read a testimonial before we dive into the questions. This is from someone who listened to a recent episode that we had last week with Ashley Manta, who I just saw out there, actually.
Love Ashley.
And she's amazing.
The hand job episode.
Yeah, hand job, hand sex episode.
Hand sex.
And so Ashley, we have to remember to tell her this when we see her later. So this listener said, this morning I made my man come using just my hands and Uber Lube. He loved every minute of it, and so did I. Your recent episode with Ashley Manta about hand sex is what gave me the courage and interest to try it. I used a lot of the techniques you mentioned, including the sitting position, then added in what he asked for, and it was amazing. I've been listening to your podcast since this past January in 2018, and I love how you are non-judgmental and educational in every topic you discuss. Thank you, and keep up the great work.
I wonder if she tried the pepper grinder.
Yeah, that was the position too. I actually went up to the owner of Sports Sheets here and I was like, so we just trademarked one of your products and it's now called the Sexy Backjack, which is
a
doggy
like
style strap. Yeah, he liked it. He liked it. I mean, yeah, I think he was also very distracted with all kinds of things, but he liked it and then told his product development person that
he's like, hey, listen to this. Yeah. Maybe we need to add a tag on that.
You know, Ashley Manta, we have a product, a fun factory called Manta.
We talked about this. We talked about it on the show because I was like, did they name that product after you?
No, but it's a coincidence. And also her and her partner love it and have done really fun things with it.
That's what she said. She was like, me and my partner love that toy. I was like, that's your toy. That's totally for you.
It's a male masturbator for couples. It's a really cool product. Yeah.
That is so
it
perfect.
Looks really discreet too. It looks like a little manta ray.
Yeah.
Which it's noise.
Yeah. Well, she knows what she's talking about. She knows her hand sex.
Yeah, she does.
I love that position she speaks to.
I haven't tried that yet.
Oh yeah. Sounds
I don't
good.
Have a penis in my life to try it, but maybe I can.
Well, you can get a silicone one. I've only been.
I want to share one other thing.
Yeah.
I also got my cock sucked for the first time.
I was going to ask you, did you get. That is a whole other experience.
That was a whole
That's kinda hot.
Different experience. Super hot. Super hot.
Deep throating? Like, was there deep throat reaction? It was all
the things.
In it.
Yeah. All the things. And a big old dick. Oh,
did you do any of the head guiding?
I'm not really a head pusher, but I was definitely like touching
and
holding
the head. I said guiding, not pushing.
Yeah, no, yeah. Just a little gentle. Bit. There was a little bit.
I'm pro head pushing.
A little bit.
Yeah, I like
my
it.
Hair, slam my face. Yeah,
I did
totally.
Like a little bit, but like, there was a little like thrusting, but very light. I mean, it was my first time for all these things. I was going like, I'm going to start slow.
Totally.
So, anyways, I'm. All this lot of news also, is happening.
Amy's back.
Got my dick sucked for the first time.
Also, the larger the cock. I mean, you're kind of like you should be thankful for like having just like a huge cock for the first time because that pressure on the clit is like really different than like a smaller light cock.
Yeah.
So just having that pressure constantly from a heavy cock is really awesome. So yay.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yay, Amy.
And I was like, how you?
I wonder if you do you think you'd ever try a double ended dildo where maybe
totally
because. Obviously, there's so many.
That factory.
The share. This is not even intentional, but that I've always wanted to actually rock the share because I've never been with a partner that's wanted to be pegged. I was only with a partner that, one partner for a little bit of time that loved prostate stimulation. And that's like a whole nother level for me. But it was only, I could only do two fingers maximum before he like freaked out.
freaked out, good freak out?
But
or
you think no, but freaked out meaning like, no, it's too much. So it was always just two fingers.
You could totally play around with getting cocksuck and all that stuff and not have to do pegging. Like you could just get a hand job. You could just do like, I want power play tonight. I have a cock. It doesn't have to go inside of you, but it will be like the thing that you're doing on your knees.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
It's interesting to operate with a cock all of a sudden for a little bit, like, because I had the harness on and I was doing other things, using my hands and, you know, on his cock, all kinds of things. But I had this big old dick in the way half the time that would like,
it does get in the way.
It's a lot. And I was like, okay, is this, there's a thing here. It's a new process to have this thing here that I'm not used to having. It was wonderful, but it was also like, all right, it's a new way of learning how to operate.
Cock energy is its own thing.
Oh yeah, I felt pretty powerful.
Yeah,
I felt really hot, and I felt also that I was still in my. I was still felt like this. I felt this connection between my masculine and feminine. There, it wasn't that my feminine left, you know, went out the window. It was like all of it was just there, and I was just like strong and powerful.
I'd probably really rock the shit out of a cock.
We should all be wearing cocks right now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Your cock. And now I have to ask even more questions.
My cock was black. It was.
It goes with your outfit right now.
The brand too. I went up to my mom.
Was it phallic or was it more just kind of?
Oh yeah, it's full phallic.
It was phallic.
I had balls, but like half balls.
You had balls
and half
veins?
Balls.
Half balls.
You know when they're like kind of slender?
Yeah. Half balls.
Veins. Thick. Black half balls, and I had a black harness on, the spare parts Theo thong harness, which no one wears, and I love that one.
It's more stable.
Very stable. You have to like wearing thongs. So anyways, my life's getting really exciting in my single life. So
next up,
fisting.
Woo.
Okay. Next. All right. Are we ready for some sex questions though?
What's up, shameless sex fam? Is your sex life important to you? What about your relationships? And also, let me ask you this. Who can relate to this story? Things were once so good in the bedroom with my partner, and now it's a mess, and I don't know what to do.
Where's my happily ever after, Amy?
What about me? Or how about so many aspects of my life are fantastic, but when it comes to sex and relationships, I feel so lost. Yep, been there.
Me too. Mm-hmm. And this is why you all need Shameless Sex,
the book.
We give you simple solutions and a framework that you can use. You can customize it to you. Yes, you. It gives you the tools, the right tools for your sex and relationship. So you get what you desire. And it's fun. It's playful. Right, Amy? We're always playful.
It's kind of sexy.
And did I mention how easy we make it for you? You have to check out Shameless Sex. Plus, the testimonials, they're coming in from everywhere. And this book has helped people just like you recreate and create the sex life of their dreams. So you can do it too. Go to, where are they going, Amy?
ShamelessSex.com.
Oh, how easy is that? Just go to ShamelessSex.com and click on the book, okay? And you can get it however you choose.
You want hardcover, audio.
Hardcover?
We got you hardly covered.
It's like we've already
been
answering
them. Kristen's really good at answering sex questions.
I know. She's
I call
very
her
good.
Sometimes. I'm like, Kristen, what do you think about this?
I should call Kristen with my sex questions.
Everyone should call me, and I want to call you too.
Yeah. Everyone, Kristen's phone number is
555-555.
Call her up.
All right, let's go to this first one. We'll keep this person anonymous. Actually, we'll keep them all anonymous. I am a 47-year-old heterosexual woman who has never had an experience with a woman. I know I do enjoy cock. I'm in a relationship with a man, and we have great sex, but I am curious about what it would be like to be with a woman. I fantasize about it. Would it be wrong of me to try to initiate an encounter with a woman, even if it would be a one-night event? I was married and with one man for 22 years and getting divorced, having fun with different men before finding the man I am with now. I understand that one-night experiences are great. Would it be welcome in the lesbian world? Any advice on how to go about this? I realized I didn't fully read this before. It's not Am I a Lesbian? Which is what I had told you all before.
I was like, yes.
Yes, you are. You are. Any advice on how to go about this on having a one-night experience? They are curious about an experience with women.
Wait, so I'm unclear about the actual question. What how to go about.
Would it be welcome in the lesbian world? Like, if they, this person wants to go and have an experience with a woman, they identify as a heterosexual woman, they are in a partnership with a cock owner, they want to have an experience with a vulva owner, it sounds like. Would it be welcome? How do you even do this? How does one even go?
That's a good one for you, Kristen.
Oh, man. Yeah. So immediately I'm like, no, lesbians will hate you. But that's Kristen.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if that's a good idea.
Get out of our bar. Yeah.
But no, but also that's not true. It's like both, you know? I think it's how you approach it. And I know plenty of straight, quote unquote, couples who experiment with bringing another same gendered partner into their relationship. I think it's always safe to do that, like, with your own community, because if you like go into the queer community and you're like, I want to be with a woman, it can be complicated because it's like you feel like you're fishing in like a world that's not yours and kind of fetishizing in a way.
It's not authentic. It doesn't feel authentic.
But I also think a lot, like I have some friends who are completely down with like, you know, being like kind of fetishized in the straight world. So it's all about consent as it comes down to everything. So I think it depends on many things. Like, is this person wanting to have sex just with another woman on their own? Are they looking to bring them back to their partner? Like, what is the experience? Do they want like a real authentic lesbian experience, whatever that means, quote unquote?
Sounds like tourism.
Yeah, like are you traveling to the resort that tells you this is what lesbianism is like, or are you going to like
the village
of lesbians and really experiencing it?
The all-inclusive resort versus the village with the people.
Yeah. Totally. I think that so in general, be really upfront about what you're doing. Don't try to lie to get somebody into your bedroom. Like, that is not
cool.
Don't
ever try to do that in any context.
But people do it because they think like, oh,
then I won't get what I want. Yeah. And like, yeah, because
it's like that Sex in the City episode. And I hate when that. But when Charlotte, remember when she was, do you guys watch? You watch?
I've
Sex
seen
and
all
City.
Of them, but I don't
Sex
not,
in the City.
Yeah.
So we remember when she was kind of going through and she was out with the lesbian world and they found out that she was straight and then they all kind of banished her. Do you remember the episode?
No.
It was so
I
funny.
Don't, but now
Charlotte,
I need to
the waspy
Charlotte
one?
Yeah, waspy Charlotte, because she was an art curator, whatever. Oh. It just reminds me of that.
I think
so
I do
she
remember.
Was kind of in that world because Samantha was dating a woman for a while on the show and Samantha brought her in. I don't remember. Anyway, it reminds me of that. And sidetrack, I've been bringing up TV shows lately for some reason on the podcast, but
I mean, Sex and the City on Shameless Sex is kind of fitting. Just
it's
saying.
Amazing.
No,
yeah.
I think so. Yes, watch the Sex and the City. Now I have to watch it, and I don't know if it's authentic or not, but it feels authentic. Also, it depends on like when I used to be with men for a very long time, and then I've been with a woman. I think now all in my life, I've been with women longer than I've been with men. Like, woo, and now I get like some kind of weird lesbian champagne sent to me. It's not true.
With lesbian champagne.
Yeah, it's not true. But I think that in general, thinking about how you want to operate. So if you want to bring another woman into the bedroom, like, I know this sounds weird, but sometimes it's just really good to just go with a good friend.
Yeah.
Just be like, hey, friend. Mm-hmm.
What about
so-and-so?
The shit where you eat scenario?
It's the right good friend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like not like
because
supplies.
My partner and I have been thinking about doing this. And we have a good friend in mind.
So then,
damn it, it's me, isn't it?
It's me,
both of us,
both of us. Me with my fisting and you
that
with
would
your
be
cough.
Shitting where I am. Exactly.
I know who it is. I know who it is, and I know it's not me or Kristen. But
whatever,
it could anyway, be. Hey, are you taking applications, you both? I don't know if I could have you chop my box, Amy.
Oh no, I don't want to chop your. I'm
exactly.
not really.
That's
I mean,
what I'm
you
saying.
Know what? And that's not true. I'm pretty open to a lot of things these days, but I
that
I
make our podcast interesting.
Make for a great podcast.
And Kristen, people have both told me separately about both of you. One today that they thought I was your partner, Amy, and then before when we were together, they thought we were partners. I thought you were. They honestly did. I heard somebody just today say that I thought
I like
you
that.
Were dating
it brings
Amy,
me joy.
And then years. But when I was always with you, they thought I was with you. I think I put off a lesbian vibe, not to bring this back to me.
Did she put off a lesbian vibe?
I mean... No. April puts out a fun vibe.
Oh, fun vibe, yeah.
Yeah, so this is the vibe that this person should go for. Like,
yes.
It is about, like, fun. So, if you want to have a one-on-one experience... Now with dating apps and stuff, just put something out there, you know?
But be like, honest about
be
where
honest,
you're at,
honest.
What you're looking for.
Because lesbian hates when you're like, hey, like, yeah, I'm like hooking up with you. And you're like, surprise, my boyfriend, husband, whomever comes home. Like, now there's a penis involved. Like, people don't like the surprises.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who like to be like the third, the the guest star in the bedroom. I mean, that's the best position.
The unicorn. The unicorn.
Yeah, like you enter in, you're like, hey, here I am. And also, if you're going to bring a lesbian into your heterosexual relationship, what's your guy down with? Like, does he want to get pegged? Is he going to watch? Like, what is
there? There was nothing said here about this.
We need a lot more information.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, I'm very curious. You know, is there a conversation with your partner about your desires? Are they on board for it? Is it, I mean, there's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of questions here.
Yeah. And also that kind of stereotype that a lesbian is going to be better at X, Y, or Z in the bedroom than like, because there is the stereotype that because a woman knows her body best, what does that mean? You know, does that mean that she's going to do some kind of magical, like fucking kind of lingus trick on you? And yes, that happens. No, but I mean, it depends. But
depends on the person.
It's not an always, you know? So I think that really defining, what do you want? Are you wanting to have oral sex with another woman? Are you wanting to have a threesome with another woman? Are you wanting, do you want to do something to another woman? Like define it, what you need and want, and then ask for it.
Yeah.
Because right now, like, people respond by just, like, you like whatever it is that you're into, somebody else is into it, too.
A lot of people are into it, too.
So also, what is it called? There's so many of them, but there's, like, these resort takeovers, like, swinger kind of takeovers.
Yeah.
It's a hotbed for everything you want. Like, just go on vacation for a week.
Hedonism,
like,
Jamaica.
Yeah, one of those. You know, I'd go for, like, one of the queer ones. Tristan Taramino does one. Oh my God, I can't remember the name.
Yeah, she's in our podcast family. So she's a Sex Out Loud podcast. Hers is Sex Out Loud. And so, yeah, she organized. That's awesome.
It's like a queer centered, but hetero welcome.
Oh, it's hetero welcome. Okay,
hetero
I was gonna, queer going
centered,
to say, yeah.
Kink centered and queer centered.
Oh.
Totally go. I haven't been, but I've heard great things. I always want to go. I'm not there in my relationship for that.
Yeah.
It's a little more out there, I think, than what my relationship is at the moment. But I think that people who are willing to experience this, do that.
Would you and your partner ever bring in a third party, like a penis owner?
No.
Exactly.
No.
Even though you've been with penises.
No.
Yeah, your partner wouldn't be down with that.
There was three no's.
It's not me. I mean, like, because, like, my partner is the one with a cock, and would just not be down. I think another woman...
Maybe.
Yeah. But, like, that's not the way that she rolls, my partner. Like, the way I roll,
she'd be like,
no,
not going to happen.
Like, I'm a little more sexually adventurous than she is. Like, she's adventurous, but in a very monogamish way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just sounds like homegrown cocks really aren't her jam.
No. Mm-hmm. She does not want a homegrown cock anywhere near her. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's fine.
I think when I was single, I hung out with a lot of your beautiful LA crew, a lot of like amazing, a lot of feminist lesbian women, queer women, queer humans, right? Mm-hmm. And I had one of your friends tell me to just open my mind up and possibly hook up with someone with a silicone cock.
I know who. Yeah. That would be
fun. I was considering it so much because I was like, absolutely. I was in the yes state of mind. And then I ended up moving away and it never happened. And that's something that I would love to experience, something that's outside of the cis world that I live in. So, Amy, right now you're an experimental too.
Mm, it's so much fun. I mean, it's a slippery slope though, everyone. Like, I slipped on my slope. And, and here I am. And you know what? It's really like... You know, we know there's like a sexuality is really on a scale, and that there's really not 100%. There is some folks this way, but 100% heterosexual, 100%, you know, gay. It's very rare to find that.
It's so changing.
It's fluid, and what you were at 20 might be different at 30. Yeah. And you know what? It really can be confusing at first to be like, fuck, you know, like I love like male bodies, cis men. Mm-hmm. I also hate them, but I love them. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I love to, you know, it's like fun. They're fun. But like, I partner best with women.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm learning so much in this new single phase of mine that all the things that I think about myself as a sexual being, not all of them, a lot of them are just stories that I've been pretty set in. And that in this new space of being super turned on all the time and have, you know, I lost my arousal and my desire for 2.5 years, all of a sudden it's like full force. And I'm spending time with people that really respect me, are not trying to take anything from me. And through that, the possibilities are limitless. It's like, oh yeah, I will totally try that thing. I don't really know if it's my thing, but all the ideas about who it's supposed to be with, who I'm attracted to, what kind of activities I'm into, they're it's changing and it's different from what it was yesterday. It's different, very different from what it was a year ago. So I totally get that. I identify as painfully straight, like a
painful
month ago.
Painful because it's fucking boring.
It's not boring. It's limiting.
Well, folks that are like pansexual or they have this complete openness to sexuality where there's no limits, whether you're bisexual or whatever you're identifying with. I always thought that being just a heterosexual human would be really fucking boring because I'm like, dude, you are totally getting rid of an entire genre of humans that could be really inspiring and I'm energetically attracted to.
I don't want to hate or shame on it, but to me it's kind of similar to like taking anal sex off the table or anything anal. I've been in relationships with partners who didn't want anything to do with butts, my butt, their butt. And it felt like a huge thing was missing off the menu of just other options of things to play with. So our menu was limited. And so I've just always felt like my personal menu was kind of limited to be able to have these experiences with people that I was attracted to, but I wasn't sexually attracted or had this story that it wasn't. So painful is the wrong word. And I took that tagline from another friend who has, you know, her mom, she has two moms and she's like, I'm painfully straight. Anyways, I saw in the last month that it's just a story that I was attached to and that I actually, when I'm super turned on, I feel really safe and respected. I have a lot more capacity to be intimate with all kinds of people, regardless of sex, gender, your body shape, you know, all those things. It's just a lot of that goes out the window when I'm turned on and feel really safe.
It's about the energy.
It's huge. It's really big.
I have one last piece of advice. If like, I don't know where this person's at that asked the question, and I don't know where their partner is at, but if you suspect that you are a little not willing to actually do the work that is needed to be there and to not like really fetishize and do shitty things to the queer community, then I would suggest a paid person.
Oh, sex worker. Yeah.
Yeah. Because honestly, like what this person's looking for is very specific. And if you want to, if you're going to go in that direction, don't put that on the people who are already doing the labor in the world around their sexuality. So, yeah, it's really cool if you can be open, but if you're like, let's say you suspect that your partner's a little bit of a D-bag, because that can happen. Mm. Douchebag, if anybody, I know that's a wrong word probably nowadays, it's probably not PC. But the thing is that like, just pay for it.
Yeah.
Because you can pay for gay.
Well, then there's no strings attached. Yeah. It's not messy at all. There isn't all this, like you're talking about, you know, shitting where you eat when you bring in a friend, or where do I go find the third person, or not even the third person, but this other side person to have this experience with. And sex workers are a great avenue
for
that. I love
sex workers.
I just want to add the shit where you eat comment comes in, because I get so energetically attached to people that I hook up with. It would be difficult for me to sort of separate sometimes afterward.
That is difficult.
So it would be really hard for me. That's why. And some people might not have any attachments to those types of situations. I just get energetically like involved with them later, where I'm like,
For me, it's like with my very close friends, I usually end up hooking up with them.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. And it usually ends up being like a really weird drunken night and whatever. You laugh at the end of the day. But it's not like, oh, we're going to run away and get like married. It's never that.
It's almost like you get closer from it, probably.
It's like a deeper hug.
Yeah. Yeah, deeper hug. It's more bonding.
It's a bonding.
Well, I think you're really good at communication and being really, I think, clear about, obviously, like that. We're not going to run away together and get married and have each other's fisting partners consistently up in each
or
other.
Something.
Gabies.
Yeah. I think that I would, I don't know. I would, I, and maybe it, that's not, a story I'm telling
it's not
myself.
Like rabies, that's like babies, but gabies.
Like gay babies.
Yeah, gay babies. Gabies.
So, and I would say the shit with where you eat thing. Yeah. If you're having these sexual encounters with friends where you're not having the open communication, the before, during, and after, and you're just like, oh yeah, there's the thing that we did and let's not talk about that and pretend like everything's normal, then it gets fucking weird.
But that's what happened to me when this comes from a previous experience. I hooked up with my best girlfriend and had like a relationship with her, a closeted relationship when I was 19 to 21. And then totally lost her as a friend because of it. And I think that's where it comes from.
That's not shitting where you eat. That's having a close bond with a friend that turned into a relationship. It's not
and
a
then
casual
I, but I lost her because of our lack of communication.
Yeah.
And our total youth. I mean, we were just young and experimental.
It's still different though. It's not like you just hooked up with a friend and then you're like, oh, that was weird. Now we're not friends. You actually had a friend. You developed a relationship. You experienced a lot together and maybe you didn't communicate. And you were young, so it was probably not going to be this long-term thing. But it's very different than, you know, having a sexual experience with a friend where you either aren't
drunken
and
random.
Yeah, drunken and random. And like, I'm sure you can do drunken and random and still have come going with intention, still you process it after and be like, yeah, we had this experience and it was awesome and I love you and here's what worked and here's what didn't and here's how I want to go about the future with you. And versus, oh yeah, that thing that happened, let's not talk about it. It's awesome though.
Well, yeah, maybe now in my late 30s.
Yeah. Yay, late 30s is so much sexier of a time. Like, I really, late 30s, I'm, like, looking at, in your 20s, like, women in their 20s, like, it's really interesting to me how much people are, like, this is the thing that we're attracted to, this youthful spirit. Because, honestly, like, 30s, 40s, like, this is, maybe even later, I'm not there yet, but this is where women really blossom. Yeah. They're so fucking hot. I mean, Amy has a cock.
I have a cock
now. She has a cock.
I mean, I don't have one right in this exact moment.
I mean, maybe. We don't know.
I'm getting anal. Yeah. She has a cock.
Yeah.
This is great.
What else is happening?
Kristen's fisting
like,
over here.
Kristen's fisting. In her 20s? Yeah. Like, I barely,
it's
like...
true.
Yeah.
I'm sure some people are. We weren't, but I mean, some people, yeah.
This is exciting. I have so much to look forward to.
I know. Kristen's such a natural with this, like, the podcast. This podcast is made possible by some of our favorite things. Uberlube is one of them. Amy, why do you love Uberlube so much?
I don't just love Uberlube. I am obsessed with Uberlube. Before I used Uberlube, I had no idea that a lubricant could be this good. Uberlube is a luxurious lubricant that I literally want all over my body. Yes, I mostly use it for sex and intimacy, and let me tell you, it enhances everything. It has no flavor. It has no scent. It never gets sticky. It almost feels velvety and powdery on my skin. I want it everywhere. And let me tell you, it also has other uses. You can use it in your hair for your hair frizzies. You can use it for massage. You can use it for chafing. Again, mostly using it for sex, and it allows me to feel that skin-on-skin intimacy that a lot of other lubricants do not allow for. April, what about you? What do you love about Uberlube?
I love the beautiful bottle. It's glass. It looks like perfume or some kind of beautiful cosmetic. Put it on my nightstand. Nobody knows what it is.
So to learn more about Uberlube, go to uberlube.com. Enter coupon code shamelesssex in all caps. You get 10% off and free shipping. This podcast is also made possible by omgs.com. April, what do you love about OMGS?
Oh my God, yes, I love OMGS. It's a research-based online program where you can look at two seasons, external, internal, vulva stimulation. It's tools for your tool belt. Add things to your menu.
So if you're looking to up your orgasm game, if you own a vulva, maybe you already have amazing orgasms. Maybe you want even more amazing orgasms. Maybe you've never had an orgasm. OMGS is something for you. If you're a vulva fan and you want to learn how to pleasure a vulva, OMGS is something for you. Again, research-based. You get to watch these tasteful, non-pornographic videos that give you a real idea of what real bodies like so that you're not left in the dark. To learn more, go to omgs.com/shameless. You get $5 off and you can watch the videos unlimited times. It is a game changer for all of my clients, all of our listeners who have watched it. You can find out for yourself. Go check it out. We're going to another sex question though. We're moving forward.
Yes.
All right, here we go. My question is on a specific fetish of mine. It's a pregnancy fetish. I don't know why, but pregnant women turn me on. The funny thing is, I don't really even want kids in the future. I don't really know if I do. I'm young, and I might change my mind, but I just don't see it happening. Is this a normal thing to have this fetish? Would you consider it too taboo? Is fetish the right word to even use to describe it? I would very much like your professional opinions. Thank you. You both rock. And you too, Kristen.
My ex-husband had a pregnancy fetish.
Really?
I'm not surprised. That sorry, you know who you are. Yeah. Sorry, I'm an asshole.
Do you think he listens to everything?
Oh my God, every fucking one. Are you kidding me?
I have no idea.
Oh. Anybody that April's ever fucked in her life is probably listening religiously. Thank you, listeners.
I'm pretty sure. I don't think a lot of my... exes
are
listening.
You guys kidding me right now?
I don't think
so.
Or they're hiding it really well.
Oh, they're hiding it. They're secretly listening to it.
All right.
Sure. I did get called out by an ex-partner that asked me if that was about him. Something that I said in the early days.
Oh, I got called out too about that because yeah, you I had did. An ex-partner that called me out on some things that I was not being truthful about in our relationship.
I just feel like now we're so deep in the episodes. If my exes do listen, I've never slandered or said anything bad, but if the pregnancy fetish thing feels like a bad thing to share. I just said my ex, right? Did I say my ex-husband?
Well, you just
well
did.
Now you just
damn it.
Damn you, wine.
Well, anyways, so tell us about your ex-husbands. But there's nothing wrong with a pregnancy fetish, though.
I never shamed him for it.
No.
And that's what maybe Kristen will share with this, or you could share this listener.
I mean, I want to hear Kristen's, but I've known people that have pregnancy fetishes, and I would, yeah, you could call it a fetish. Sure. I mean, maybe you can talk more about like what would signify or what would be a fetish versus not a fetish. But I knew some people that thought it was really hot because it was like the ultimate maternal, womanly, like creator mm-hmm. of life. You in your power with a baby in your belly, and you're growing like, yeah. life in you, and they're glowing. Look how strong. And sometimes they're vomiting and having a really fucking hard time. But it was hot yeah. and hemorrhoids. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't have a kid, but I know it happens.
yeah.
Or and sometimes we see the uncomfortably pregnant people where you're like, oh no.
But I don't think that's what they're fetishizing.
And
they're
Amy,
not like,
we saw a super pregnant person when you're like, doesn't that look like her butthole hurts? I was like, you know what? It does.
Because
she
was,
she yeah. did look so super uncomfortable.
The three women who have never had children and may never have
Well, Kristen's a mom.
You have a mom. Yes. You weren't pregnant though, but you have a child. Yes.
For 4 months of a toddler. Yes.
Yes.
But I did not birth him. No. Thank the fucking goddess. you know, in general, when I first read this question, I was like, duh, of course, you know, yeah. when it was the person, he?
It's normal.
They?
Yeah. He, I think it's he's. What I was, think he.
Go with he. Okay. Yeah. He. So he was saying something like, I have this fetish and I also don't want children. And then I'm like, duh.
Yeah.
Every person who's ever like, every guy wants to stick their penis into a hole when there's no consequence. This is my thing, right?
Oh, I never thought of that. That's a good one,
right?
Kristen.
Just like, fuck away. Yeah. No problems. But reading further into it, the question I would have is like, do you only fantasize about people yeah. who are pregnant? Is it like super pregnant belly, or is just knowing they're pregnant? Is do you like, I don't know, like when you're having sex with people who aren't pregnant, are you like, wishing they were
that,
pregnant?
Yeah.
Are you thinking about it? Are you trying to like do his positions that would be like pregnant positions? I mean, these are
can
big
you
questions.
Wear this yeah. pillow in front of you yeah. right yeah, now yeah. with can, this shirt?
I'm gonna give you a watch of like donuts too. And have a little
Which
bit of a
still,
belly or something.
Like, it's still right. not shaming those things. It's just like getting more clarity on how is it because there's the with a fetish, you can have a very mild fetish, which is just like, oh yeah, I don't need this thing to get off, but it's a big part of my spank bank and I get super turned on by it versus I actually need this thing to get off. I don't get aroused without it. So it's more understanding of where this person falls.
When I fuck you, please say, my baby's coming. Yeah. It's coming.
Oh
I'm
God.
Crowning.
You, a labor fetish. No.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
that's
a labor fetish.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Thing,
that's
yeah.
I obviously haven't birthed a child.
Crowning.
I'm sorry.
I'm crowning.
Oh, the God. Placenta.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
we're not
you?
Making fun of you, by the way.
No,
we're
no.
We're
no. God, no. Not at all.
No.
The opposite. I think it's beautiful.
I love fetishes. I love things that when people find non-normative ideas of whatever society thinks should be sexy. I love it. I'm like so mm-hmm. fascinated by it. In fact, I find my own little turn on by it, and it brings me joy to hear when people embrace it and yeah. own it. And I'm like, fuck yes. I actually, this is a total tangent, but I had a conversation with someone who is a feeder in
Oh my God! We talked about this, Kristen.
You dated a
oh, my
tell our listeners what
you
a feeder
totally
is.
Dated a feeder.
A
feeder. We totally. Oh my God! Love
oh
it.
Oh my God! I did not know that I dated a feeder until I got into the industry, which is now 15 years ago. But I dated somebody when I was 20 years old, who was such a feeder. I almost want to contact him and be like, "Wow, you're a feeder." but, so he like really just was really into. Feeding me and watching me kind of grow. Like I got a lot larger mm-hmm. and really got excited when I got stretch marks. I never had a stretch mark in my life mm-hmm. until him. But he would do things like, I'm going to bathe you. I know this sounds like, what's wrong with you, Kristen? This sounds perfect. But he would run a bath for me, have cookies baking while I'm in the bath or whatever, you know, many different kinds of food. And then he would feed me in the bathtub. I would tell him like, oh, you know, I'm trying to like not eat like my favorite things. I love like bagels and cream cheese, right? Bagels and cream cheese,
and he's
all
like,
day, all
more
day
bagels.
So I brought you a dozen bagels and three tubs of cream cheese.
He would show up at my work with like super like many bagels with cream cheese.
Oh my god!
All the time, even though I said no. And he was a super athletic person, but he didn't want me to be athletic, so he really wanted to watch me grow, which was the strangest thing. Mm-hmm. And I literally have stretch marks due to him, and I really at first liked it, and then I started telling my friends, it just feels a little weird. And they were like, you're weird. Like, you're this guy is
sounds
like
great.
Worshiping you.
He's pampering,
he's like,
totally
he's pampering
taking care of you.
Me, he's like rubbing oil on me, and then he's like giving me positive reinforcement around all the things that are happening with
my
body.
So, but he never said, I'm super turned on by you eating this delicious food
maybe
and maybe getting a little more curvy from it.
No, and he used to get mad when I wouldn't eat, and he'd want to watch me eat the food.
And didn't you say now, you've seen him on social media, and you see that he's with, like, his partner, and she's like,
yes, and she also is growing.
Yeah.
And that's great, and I don't know if he's realized what
maybe
he is.
Maybe she loves it.
And I really, I hope he, wherever you are, I won't say your name, but I really hope that he knows what he is, because there, again, nothing's wrong with it, but like, I would have liked to have an honest conversation. I was 20 or 21.
To be clued in. Yeah. Yeah.
I just felt like he was controlling me with food, and he was really obsessed with feeding me.
Yeah. That's confusing. Yeah. And so when I heard from someone that was a feeder, and they were explaining to me, there's what they are like, I actually don't want my partner to get bigger, but I'm really turned on just by the idea of it and by watching them eat and by feeding them. It's really hot, but I actually don't want to see their body get bigger. So it's like different levels of this particular fetish, right? You can have it's a spectrum or on a continuum or whatever that is. And I was so, and they, you know, they had some shame tell me. I was one of the first people that they were owning that to. And I was like, that is fucking awesome. One, that they're owning it. They also, though, they were so new, there's shame, so it was scary. I don't know if they would actually, they did tell their partner, but they didn't fully, because there was shame, and maybe this is the person that you were with, Kristen, there was some shame around, although it sounds like maybe he was trying to dodge it, and he was, I don't know.
Super traumatic history.
You got to own it.
Human, you know? And what's weird, he was a friend of the family, which made it weird. And everybody's like, he's so perfect. And I'm like, yes. And I tried to explain to my mom later that he was a feeder. You would have thought, like, I didn't explain the details I'm explaining now, but my mom was just like,
you're weird, Kristen. What's going on? Why don't you love that?
Like, just kind of like, what?
Yeah.
People are so confused. Yeah. And it's a really weird thing to go through. And try to explain like where you're at, because most people don't have this experience. But getting back to the like, nobody farted, it was Amy moving on the couch.
They probably didn't even hear it, Kristen.
Totally.
Damn it.
I heard it.
It's a loud part of the couch. Aww. It really was the couch. The question from this person, you mean?
I want to get back to this, like, this really, there are very niche things, and I don't think that there is a normal, not normal. I think there are the probability of, you know, people having this or wanting this more is probably less with, you know, pregnancy, but it's super hot. And the only thing is, are you chasing that experience?
Yeah.
Because if you're chasing that experience, you got to figure out a way to work with it.
And I would say, you know, dovetailing on what you were just saying with the feeder thing is also being honest and transparent with people, that it feels safe to be, you know, not... you know, of course, if there's shame, or if it doesn't feel like it's safe to out this to this person, you know, that they aren't a safe outlet, maybe that's not someone you should be intimate with, first of all. But also, if there are things that you're doing that are trying to kind of reenact or go into this fetish space, to be honest about it, so that people don't go, they're not led into a fetish space with you that is your fetish or your desire without them consenting to it, because then it can feel like it's a non-consensual act, right? They're being led into something that they actually didn't sign up for. It can be really confusing for them.
Maybe we're going to have some aha moments for listeners out there that were not aware that they had a feeding fetish.
There's so many fetishes out there. Just go to FetLife.com. It is just like Facebook for kinky people. And it's just to see all the fetishes, because they have a whole list of all the things that you're into. And there's so many things that I'm like, what? And also not judging and like mind just blown that there's someone into something, into everything, right? Everything you've ever heard of, like, there's someone that has a thing for it.
And catalog for your fetish.
It's limitless. Possibilities are limitless.
You know, I think that I think my same final answer would apply, that if you feel like you're not in a place to really do this in a consensual way, you need to be like taught a little more, whatever it is, like, pay for it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pay for
it. There you
it.
Go.
That's because what I want for Christmas yeah, this year.
Another shout out to sex workers. I know, you have these people that are professionals, and some people specialize in certain mm-hmm. things. You can find someone. I don't know. I mean, the Craigslist thing is done now. But there still are so ways to find sex workers that might specialize in what it is that you're looking for. And then you can have the experience. And then you're supporting, you know, mm-hmm. a working person.
I know at least when you come to like dungeons and stuff, it's definitely not a sexual, like, you know, PIV, penis and vagina experience. However, you could at least explore it maybe in like a dungeon space yeah. where you can talk to a person who deals with a lot of like kinks and like go down the road. At least get taught. Don't be a douche. I should stop using that word. Darn it.
Don't be an enema bag.
Yeah. Don't be that person. Like, don't perpetuate the issues that we have in society. Like, go get learn about who you are. Yeah. Just like how we go to a therapist.
Yeah.
You know, go get your kink therapy on.
Yeah. And there's online programs for that. There's in-person classes at places. There's all kinds of stuff. There's, yeah, it's in reading books, exposing yourself to things and again, owning it and being transparent and safe. Environments, well, not every environment.
This is really the best time to have, I think, as humans grow and change and evolve, the best time to have any sort of, there's an information flow that yeah. everyone can gain access to. Yep. And we're in a day and age where, again, with different websites and you've access to everything that you possibly could. And obviously we only condone the most consensual stuff and paying for those things are a great way to access those. But the interweb.
Interweb, yeah. The possibilities are limitless with the interwebs.
It really is.
Even though
it really is.
They be cracking down on a lot of those aspects of it. All right, last sex question before we hightail out of here to go all have a nice dinner together. I have a romantic interest in someone who's been in my life for a long time. And she confessed to a rape experience early in her life. And I was horrified. I want to keep this person absolutely safe, and I want her to rediscover her sexuality on her own terms, but she can't even talk about it because of discomfort and fear surrounding it. For now, my approach is very hands-off and focusing on the bond-building things. And if it ever comes up, I make it clear that anything that happens is on her terms, and when she's ready, I am all ears about what those terms are. Do you have suggestions for her or for me about how to communicate around this huge and understandable barrier to seeing the beauty of her sexuality? I would be her first consenting partner since this trauma. History Ooh. Of depression and mental illness are on both sides. No medications. And I'll just start with, there's certain aspects of this that might be beyond our scope here. So as we dive into this a little bit, I think it's something important to talk about. And someone who is a licensed therapist probably will have some other important additions to share. And I also want to say that I actually really appreciate when I read this, the way that this person worded this. The way that they were speaking to, especially where I'm at right now, I don't have any sort of non-consensual acts of sexual violence in my history. I have a lot of compliant, shitty sex in the past. Not recently, but in the past. And so I'm really appreciating this from someone who's saying, you have the reins. You get to call the shots. And I only want to support you and allow you to be in your power and do what you need and to, essentially I'm here when you're ready and it's all in your terms. And I only want to be here and support you. So I really appreciated that coming from someone who identifies as a penis owning man. So I really liked that part.
We've talked about EMDR so many times before. Yeah. That sounds kind of like a really good option for this person therapy. That suffered the trauma, and they probably need to do some of that work.
Yeah, I mean, he's not saying what kind of work they've done. It's right. more of how can I support them? What can they do? So yeah, I think that'd be the first thing is for them to not just try to work on it on their own.
Well, and maybe there's some support system that the partner could get in. I mean, just like anything, being a partner, yeah. even to someone that's sick, dying of cancer, there's so many, huge difficulties yeah. that arise with folks that have suffered something that you're not going through, but you're standing alongside of them. And yeah. that sort of rape trauma, I can't even imagine. And there's going to be a lot of triggers and there's going to be a lot of slow steps that are going to be needed to happen. Yeah. And hopefully that their partner is getting some sort of therapy or some sort of treatment.
Some sort of support. I mean, my mom has a lot of sexual trauma from her childhood, and she was very open about it and still is very open about it, but she wasn't until her 60s that she went and did a lot of EMDR work, and she was going once a week for like 6 months. She'd call me after, she'd be just raw and cracked open, because you go back into that, you kind of paint the picture with someone who can support you, but you go through the somatic healing.
It's almost
of the
like
experience.
Inception, the dream. You're like reliving the experience.
But you're not doing it alone.
Right.
You're with someone else that's there that is guiding you and supporting you. And it was able, the experience, that whole, it was very hard. It was not easy, but it allowed her to, instead of burying this thing, which she didn't really ever bury it, but this, it was this thing that brings up, you know, a trauma response when I relive it or think about it. Now it's just part of her story that, yeah, it's not the most joyful, pleasant part of her story, but she doesn't have a trauma response that goes with it, because she was able to go back and heal it in a safe environment. So I think that that's an important piece there too, is, you know, for this supporting partner, I think it's wonderful that you're supporting by being so supportive and saying the ball's in your court and I'm only here to support and I don't want to take anything from you and I only want to empower you and uplift you. And there's probably some work for you to do on your own. We don't know if his partner is, but for you to do on your own so that the experience doesn't have control over you too, as well.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it's, yeah, it's a very intense question. I really love the way the person wrote in about like the statements. I also appreciate hearing we're not on medication, because medication adds a whole other layer of sexual response. But in general, let's say we are assuming that they're under care, they've gotten some help with, you know, a therapist to how to work through it. If all these things are assumed and you wanted some like real like sex tips, there are, the things I would throw out there are maybe taking away all of his power. So for instance, like using like maybe tying him up to a chair and she's the one that's guiding the penis inside of her, or the way that she's interacting with the body where she has complete control. That might be a sex tip. I think that in general, like positions where she doesn't feel trapped underneath, on top of, you know, really those kinds of things. And also not being like surprised if she wants to reenact it, because that's a lot. You know, I'm dealing, very different, but I have a, you know, a foster child with me, and I'm learning a lot about trauma informed parenting. Mm-hmm. I think it crosses over to trauma informed communication. Yeah. And in general, like there will be times with people who've gone through trauma where there's like a some form of reenactment. And if you build the words you need to be like, right now, maybe she wants to do that.
Yeah.
And what does that mean to you? You know, what does that look like? And these are all things, again, like assuming that there's therapy, assuming all these things are happening, you know, sex in general can be a very healing experience, and you can use sex to heal and you can play with it. And we would all be extremely surprised by how many men and women and of all genders who have gone through sexual trauma that none of us admit to. So this one's brave as she's talking about it. There's men who have gone through rape and never talk about it. So it was one of the things that came up for me when, like, would I be okay with taking in a child who has been sexually abused? And it was a hard conversation that I had with my partner. Like, would we be okay with that? And everybody in my life was like, but you have the information around sexuality. This
you're
is
like
the perfect.
The, yeah,
experience.
You're the one of the people that should, or it has the more capability, more scope to be able to do that.
But it's scary to go there, and that's not my experience. I don't have a child that's gone through sexual trauma, but in general, like trauma informed communication can look like, wow, like you, like I'm sure you're feeling overwhelmed right now, or maybe like that must be very, you know, hard for you. You might feel very tired from thinking about this. Like, you know, maybe like that night when you think you're going to have sex and that person's feeling a little lethargic, like it, you know, like reinforcing their emotions through trauma-informed communication is really helpful. And there is actually, if you look up trauma-informed communication, there's usually a list of, I actually even have trouble with this, but a list of words to help you describe emotions.
Like I've seen that with sexological body workers, because a lot of people with sensations and emotions, because a lot of people have a really hard time with it. Mm-hmm. They have a super hard time with identifying with what they're feeling in their body and what they're feeling emotionally too. It's like there is a kind of blank, or they have three words that they usually go to, and it just doesn't, there's so much more to it.
There's like, I don't even know the word, the list of words I have is something like 75 words. Yeah. I literally, when I'm trying to speak to somebody who's trauma triggered, I sometimes or even in my personal life, like I usually only have like 5 words that I go to, which is really limiting. I mean, we have a beautiful language full of lots of words that reinforce our emotions. And I would probably like maybe that, you know, instead of a yes, like do a yes, no, maybe list for sure. What are people into that changes, but like do that regularly. Print up a bunch of words that you might use during sex, and also being okay with that there might be like some kind of like play to get you through the trauma. That's also something we do as children, or help with children to get through the trauma, is to play, like reenact or talk through it or do something through a play. And play is extremely helpful in getting through our traumas, and play is extremely helpful to have us connect with each other. And like, although like this seems like, wow, we're really ending on a heavy note here, it also is like really could be very rewarding. Like think about like all the benefits that come along and all the excitement that can come along with like working through trauma together. It's really sexy.
I would love to learn more about helping folks with trauma, because
most of us have gone through trauma, you know,
or you're going to encounter someone that will, whether it's a friend or family member or partner. Mm-hmm. And that is really important skill, because it's not something that is going to fall by the wayside. It's something that we all, I would want to have that as a human. I want that skill, because right now I don't have a lot of ability to help folks. Yeah. I can listen and I can try to show up energetically for them, but I don't know. I don't have the words.
And there's no hierarchy of trauma, right? One person's trauma and their experience can be another person's easy day, right? So it's just different for everyone. So if someone says, you know, they have a trauma response or something's really hard or shaming or traumatic, then that is, they're entitled to that. And I do agree that sexuality, when it's done with respect and safety, can be a great outlet to actually explore it and work with it and work through it. But everyone, of course, has to be on board. You know, I identify as someone who has daddy issues, and I love exploring daddy little girl dynamics. I don't want to have sex with my dad. I actually don't even think of it as like this familiar thing. Like, you're my father. It's like, it's a power play thing. And there's a component of it that does feel like I'm getting this part of me or this piece of me that was never nourished in this new way, that is being nourished in sex in a way that I wouldn't actually want to happen in real life with like the person, you know. It serves its own time and place, but it is a very nourishing thing, and it's also done with people that I feel really safe with. So I really, really appreciated the way, and this person had a whole bunch of other stuff that they wrote, by the way, that was just testimonials to listening to our podcast and how helpful it has been for them personally.
Yay, you guys. Yeah. Yay, April and Amy.
Well, yay.
Doing the Lord's work.
And yay also, for Kristen,
also,
too.
Yay for human, like, hey, yay for cis men who want to support and honor.
I'm impressed by cis, but I don't want to just say cis men,
this
but
user,
you
this
must have been writing us.
Yeah, Kristen's like, wait.
I was like, what? I was gone for like 15, 20 years and this is what happened?
We actually write, we get a lot of written in questions from people in partnerships that tend to be in hetero partnerships and cis men in partnerships that write us about showing up for their partners in different ways. And this one was an actual, it was a really special question and write in, and I don't know. Thank you for people writing in.
One more thing. I just thought of this. Aftercare, like, let's take some work around, like, what has happened in the kink community around, you know, consensual play and how important aftercare is. I mean, people are doing very risky is a weird word, but, like, people are doing things all the time in kink where there's a requirement of aftercare. And I think that when we're dealing with trauma, aftercare is very important.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, just, like, be prepared. There might be a meltdown. There might be like a lot of excitement. And then afterwards, the next day, maybe a shutdown. Like, be prepared. Like, what is a person like? Do they like super cozy, you know, whatever? Maybe like buy a little cozy snuggie, or I don't even know what, whatever the person's into.
Yeah. Hot
and
tea
afterwards,
in a bath.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Warm
like,
cookies. Who knows?
Give them
ask them what they want.
Give them
feeder.
Feeder. Feeder. Hey, Kristen's in the bathtub. This cookie's baking.
Damn it. I don't even like cookies.
Yeah.
Bagels.
I like,
bagels and cheese.
I like that. And
cheese
I just,
all the way.
I just thought of, you know, for myself, for all of the, you know, I have my quarter masochist, for all of the pain that I like to receive consensually, I also want the nourishment to follow. It's not just like, all right, here's a big slap in the ass and goodbye. It's also like a slap in the ass. And then can you also like hold it and
can I have a vulva hug?
All of the things. And I'm not, and that's not even speaking from a place of having non-consensual acts of sexual violence. So yeah, the world is your oyster in terms of the way that you can explore this at maybe sexually, but also just support and show up. And we'll end it at that with just, you're a fucking awesome human for writing us this question and for being so supportive and letting someone else have the reins. And here's what I want to say, they're not fucking making about them. I love
that's beautiful. Yeah.
That
that's
is really when beautiful. Someone is not making someone else's challenging time a threat to their sexuality, especially a penis owner who's not like, oh, maybe it means that you don't want to fuck me or I'm not enough. Instead, they're just like, all right, I'm going to honor you. This is hard. And how can I show up for that? And it's like, fuck yes, we need more of that. And this isn't just penis owners that do that. Like, I know plenty of vulva owners and all kinds of in-betweens that take stuff very personally. It has nothing to do with them.
The penis owners. But a lot of times, yeah. And also, like, I'm pretty sure all three of us would fuck you just for this.
Right?
So wait. Like, yay, you energetic fucking right now.
So our address is 555 Street, and we'll be there. And we have a puppy, and just be careful because puppy is currently passed out for this whole podcast.
I just want to put out that I think Kristen, whenever we see you, we'll be in Germany again in October.
We should do
more of this.
Yeah.
And perhaps listeners out there, if you have questions for Kristen when she comes on our show. Yeah.
I specialize in lesbian, non-lesbian questions.
Oh, yeah. You do. You
I
do.
Know.
Yeah. And you just are really, she, like, you've been a sex educator for years. Yeah. And you're a powerhouse boss queen. I'm so fortunate to know
it.
And love you.
You specialize in all the questions, too, just
you
by
really
the way.
Do. You have such great insight.
You cover
just
all of it.
Like your friend's friend. Like, take me out for some wine. We'll have some talks. And, you know.
We'll energetically stroke you all night now after this.
Ooh. Or wait.
Oh. Big black cock.
Or a little black dick. It's not even mine. I don't even own that big black dick.
And you're gonna.
I lost my dick. All right, everyone.
Well, I thank all of you for tuning in. We covered a lot today. Yeah. A lot.
Yep.
We covered fisting, anal, anal bleaching, but just anal penetration.
Yeah,
just
so pregnancy fetish.
Pregnancy fetish.
We also have
lesbian, not lesbian.
How to explore my first lesbian venture.
Awesome.
Yeah. Supporting someone who has sexual trauma.
I love it.
And all the in-betweens.
I feel
Lord's,
good.
The goddess work. I just
the goddess,
saying the Lord's
the
work.
Goddess
the goddess work.
Well, listeners, thank you for tuning in to Shameless Sex every Tuesday. We'll see you next Tuesday. Hey, do us a favor. 5 stars. We love your 5 stars. Give us a testimonial.
Testimonial.
We'll moan it out.
Testicles.
We'll give the O of the testimone. and we'll probably or possibly read it on air, especially if it's filled with love
and
energetic stroking.
Yes.
Yeah, and some sluttiness. All right, y'all. Love you all. Ciao for now.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.